I'm Sheree and I'm an addict. And the workshop's over, because that's why I say. That's it. Because being an addict, man, encompasses so much. And it wasn't until I was here for a little while that I realized drugs were a big part, but man, the part that came with using drugs, right? I was sitting here telling Lawrence, oh my God, you know, I didn't sleep well last night. My allergies going on and my energy level is low. And the real deal is I'm just nervous, right? I don't care how many times I do it. I'm always nervous because in the back of my mind, the lower power is always saying, are you going to measure up? And the real deal is I only can compare myself to myself, right? So how far have I come since I've been in this program? And I was thinking, why do I stay? Because, man, let me tell you, I don't want to be out trying to cop and get pistol whipped by the dope man, right? I don't want to feel like I felt every time I laid down to trick to get whatever I needed, right? Whether it was dope. Love was the trickiest trick of all because I had a soul hole, right? I was a fatherless daughter, and that was one of the ways that I tried to make myself whole. I confused sex with love, and I think, you know, Kendall was talking about it last night, and that resonated so much with me even still today. My clean date is 7/19/1991, and, you know, not that we should dwell in our war stories, but I always love to hear that part so I can relate. Because of my analytic mind, I remember going to treatment and having worked all 12 steps in the 45 days I was there, thinking I had it figured out, right? And see, that's why I stayed, because even still today, my disease will tell me, guess what? Like I'm in that 6th and 7th step, and it'll say, you can remove that defect on your own. You don't need God's help with that. You know, I remember doing this last 4th and 5th step, and at the top of my list of defects was self-reliance. That's why I stay, because it's so easy for me to ease God out and be convinced that I can do this on, despite substantial evidence that I can't. I can't do it on my own. I need all you people out there to say, baby, you may want to take a look at that. Because, see, if everybody keeps pointing something out to me, I may want to take a look at that. I keep coming and I stay because at any given moment, I may look at a sister or a brother, but it's generally a sister, and I'll say, I ain't really feeling her. And my sponsor will give me that sly look and say, you spotted, you got it. Yes, right? So that means, wow, I need to take a look at, why am I so uncomfortable in my spirit with that other human being, right? So that means I just have to practice some self-acceptance so I can accept you. At any given moment, man, I'm powerless, and I hate it. I hate that I'm powerless, but thank God for a program of Narcotics Anonymous that tells me I can get some power, right? It's just outside of myself, whether it be through my sponsor, through my higher power, through my home group, through another addict. It's all available to me should I choose to use it. Love it. And oh my God, let's talk about some insanity, right? Woo! And I know all my homegroup members out there, they probably, Lord, is she going to share about that job again? But let me tell you, man, I'm in a situation, I work in a hostile work environment. As a result of being in this program, I've had the opportunity to go back and get a few degrees, right? And let me be clear, that's only as a result of this program. And the people I work with, I don't think they really like that a whole lot. And so they give me a really hard time, and I go through a lot. And I really struggled with a boss that I have, and I came to a meeting, and I said, I want to cut that sucker from ear to ear. I just want to call my people up in New York, have them come down and catch that guy in the alley. Lights out. And my husband gave me this book. It was called Happiness in the Workplace. And it incorporates a lot of principles that we talk about, like in the eighth and the ninth step, and having some compassion for people, and trying to take a look at myself and the role that I play in situations when I really don't want to take a look at myself and the role that I play, because sometimes it just ain't pretty. And I thank God that even being what some would say an old timer, that I still have that ability. That I don't believe that because I have this time that I am cured and that, you know, all is well. Because let me tell you something. Let me miss a few meetings. Let me not talk to a sponsor. Let me not read our literature. It won't take very long. I'll be right back in some insane thinking. And see, at this point, while it is always about the drugs, it's about some other shit. I'll be on something else, and I'll be real crazy. And before I know it, I'm down that rabbit hole, man. And it's like, help. And the help is available. That's the good thing. I keep coming back and staying. Why I stay is because it said in the third step that we made a decision to turn our will and our life over. And that is a constant decision for me every day. I got to get up and say, okay, your will, not mine. Because I'm a willful addict. Oh, my God. I told you, self-reliance. I think I got some shit figured out. And so I had to keep making that decision. Sometimes it's moment to moment, depending on what the situation is, you know. I stay because I have to have courage to be able to continue to be honest and get vulnerable and get naked. You know, somebody was telling me, oh, Sheree, you don't have to come in a meeting and do a fifth step. I said, shit, I don't know about you, but I can't come to a meeting and say, oh, I'm going through a situation and I'm feeling fucked up. No, I can't do it. I need to come and say, you know what, God, Lee, I met this guy and I had sex with him with no condom and I'm scared as shit that I got something. Because, see, my experience tells me that's what happens when you don't use a condom, right? So I have to be courageous and come in and share that ugly, dirty, nasty stuff that I don't really want to share. Because, see, that's what the people before me did for me. I come from that era, and I know people get tired of hearing, but I come from that era where they said, sister, sit down, be quiet, you don't know nothing. If we want to know about using, we'll come talk to you. I didn't even have Narcotics Anonymous in my area when I got clean. I went to another fellowship, and wasn't nobody my skin tone. Wasn't nobody my age. But it was all good, because they knew. They knew about some spiritual principles that I could apply in my life that I could get better, man. Because I don't ever, 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 ever want to have that feeling of desperation can be good sometimes, but I was so desperate to stop feeling how I felt about myself. And I can go there. I can make, man, you ain't got to assassinate me. I can tell myself how worthless I am, you know, if I'm not working on something. And that's why I love this program, man. I stay because of the freedom, because of the joy, because of the self-acceptance and being all right in my own skin. That's all I ever wanted. Because I was a little light-skinned girl who all the dark-skinned girls chased home and beat up. Because I didn't fit in. I was the little girl who was an honor roll student. But I was with this group over here that smoked weed, so I really ain't know where I fit. I was confused. When I went to college, I made a decision to change my name. Because that was the persona that I took on because I wanted to be somebody else. Because I didn't like who I was. I was damaged goods. for as long as I could remember. You know, my dad wasn't in my life, and my trauma was so deep. I remember being at a women's retreat with probably maybe about 9, 8 years clean, and I was in this prayer maze walking and praying and walking and praying, and I had a full-fledged memory of my abuse. It was so deep, and I kept wondering why I couldn't lose weight, why I felt so worthless. And that's the value of this program, man. When you work these steps, what do they say? I can't never get it right. I think it's uncover, discover, and recover. That's what it's all about. And being okay with who I am once I do that. And knowing that I have to stay because the work is continuous. I can't do just one cycle of the steps because guess what? We constantly living, so new shit arises every day. My eight-step list, it may have some of the same people, institutions on it. The list is shorter, but it changes every time I do that step, right? How I make amends. Like when I first came, I had defrauded the IRS. I ain't want to tell them motherfuckers that I had stole all that money. They found me. I was 3 years clean, and they said, you owe us some money. But here's the beauty of it. I was so jacked up, by the time I had got to treatment, I totally forgot about this retirement account that I had, and guess what? Almost to the penny, it was what I owed the IRS. Because see, God will work some shit out if I stay out of it. Because I can get in my own way. And that's why I stay, man. Because I know that I can trip my own self up if I'm not careful. Right? In the reading, it said that, you know, jails, institutions, and death. See, I can be up in here because I go through this phase where, damn, I'm tired of going to meetings. And I stop going. And then I come back once I'm crazy enough. And then I go back out. And then I come back. And, you know, when I hear them, people read that, and it says jails, institutions, and death, immediately I think about a spiritual death. Because, see, that's a type of a death, too. And I don't ever, ever, ever want to feel disconnected from my higher power. That's my source. Because people are unreliable as fuck. Some are reliable. I don't know if I'm 100% convinced yet that there's anybody other than my sweet, sweet husband. Love you, honey. That I can trust 100%. Higher power's always there, always comforting me. Sitting right here saying, just be yourself. Just tell your story. You ain't got to try to entertain. Do nothing but just tell your experience, right? So, I was talking with my sponsor, and we were having a disagreement about my method of prayer and meditation. And one thing that I love and why I stay is because, what do they say? There's every manifestation of the addict. So I love that I fit with her, even though we disagree. And I don't take every suggestion. I ain't going to sit up here and lie. I'm kicking and screaming most times. But I told her, I said, you know what, I've been in this process for a minute, and it's working for me. And she said, oh, yeah, I might have been a little self-righteous. And that's why I come, because I want to be that honest. I still want to be able to be honest and trust people, because I trust her. Not 100%, but I trust. That's still a process for me. I keep coming because I love the spiritual awakenings that I have and that I see other people experience in this program. I love our theme. Oh, my God. I love the way that Kendall broke it down last night. We're miracles, man. I'm a miracle. I mean, I'm telling you, I smoke crack like 95 going north. And today, you know, the agency I work, they entrust me with millions of dollars. What? Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I'd be here? Never would I have thought that I would be in a healthy relationship with a man who's my friend. Let me say that. Because I didn't know how to have friendships. I just knew how to use the tools that I had to get what I needed to get. And I love the brothers, but whew, thank God for the women. Because that was a struggle for me. Thank God for the women and the women who were willing to tell me the truth and weren't fearful to tell me the truth. Because sometimes people tell me some bullshit like, oh, you're so intimidating. That's some bullshit. I'm not intimidating. That's your shit. It is. Because if I'm about what I say I'm about in Narcotics Anonymous and I see you going down a wrong road and I see that it may cause you some harm, I'm not saying we got to be in people's business. I got to be in people's business. But if I see something I think that's going to cause you to use or really hurt yourself, I feel like it's incumbent upon me to say, hey, y'all are my eyes and ears. Who else am I going to rely on to point it out to me? We get so fucking touchy up in this bitch now. I'm sorry. I got to say it. I get so mad when I'm at a meeting, and this is totally fine, I get it, when they say, oh, pass the paper around and put your number on it. Bullshit. They say I had to work for this. And if I wanted it, I'll go ask you for your number. Man, they say if you want what we have, you'll do what we did. And I believed them. And I'm not saying you got to do it the way I do it. I can only give you my experience, strength, and hope. And I work my ass off for this recovery. My first year, my sponsor had me in service. I stayed in service a long, 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 long time. And I learned about some traditions, man. And I learned that, because I struggle with my communication. I'm brutally honest. I'm trying to learn how to be compassionately truthful. I'm working on it. I'm getting a little bit better. I'm working on not using profanity as much. But sometimes, a motherfucker is a motherfucker. Yeah. Sometimes you just can't put no other label on it, man. When it's down in your gut, you know what I'm talking about? Like you got a hurt that you can't even express but in a grunt or a moan. Yeah. That's why I stay. Because I tried a whole lot of other stuff, man. I came with a perception about religion that was fucked up. They told me I was going to hell because I was this or I was that. And when I came here, they said, baby, you just got to get a higher power that's loving and caring. And you can call it whatever you want. It could be a he. It could be a she. It could be a it. Only requirement is that it's loving and caring. So slowly but surely, I began to realize, I ain't got to be perfect. And my higher power will still love me. That's one of the things I really struggle to. You know, I come from an alcoholic family, and if you know anything about that, you know everybody got a role to play in the family. And I am the hero, right? I'm a go-getter, an overachiever. And that's a mask that I can continue to wear even still today sometimes, right? To hide my insecurities. Mm-hmm. I don't call it low self-esteem. For me, I had to call it what it really kind of was. And it's a lot better today. It was self-hatred, man. Because I had so much shame and guilt about the things that I had done in my addiction, man. And one of the biggest reasons why I stay is because I got a son who I hold to meetings with me. Who could quote the steps? Who could tell me about traditions? And all of that, and he's what he is, you know. He does what he does. And it hurts me to my heart, man. And one of the things that I love about what our speaker said last night is I stay for the babies, for the still suffering addicts still yet to come. Wow. I shudder to think what would happen if Narcotics Anonymous folded. Ooh, that's some scary shit. Because I ain't found nowhere else to go. Why I seen people come stinking, smelly, crazy. And they said, come on in. We love you. We'll show you how to love yourself. I don't know no place. Church ain't do it. No other institution. Nothing. Nothing. And what a feeling I get, man. What a feeling I get. Okay, great. That all of this came together to just bring me to this point of freedom that I now have, man. This last year has been just totally awesome for me. And I think part of it is, too, comes with getting a little bit older. You care about less shit. Man, it's just too hard. It's just too much. When I got that AARP card, what? I was like, it's official. I'm a senior citizen. I love it, man. And I'm so looking forward to my journey in recovery because I'm only like maybe about 3-4 years out from retirement, man. And I'm just like, woo, can't wait. Maybe I'll be able to do a convention every weekend, you know, because this is where I come to get rejuvenated and renewed. And when I'm feeling like low, and I'm going to share this and then I'll be quiet. I was reflecting back on my first convention. I was 2 months clean. And I had met this sister. She had 3 months clean. And I was like, oh, shit, you got 3 months clean. That is awesome. So we had this old beat-up B210. I know you young people probably don't remember that ride. That thing was a hoopty. It was almost broke down. We had just enough gas to get to the convention. We didn't have any money other than that. Man, we hobbled on to the convention in the car, broke down once. We had AAA. They came, hooked us up, and we got to the convention. And the old timers, man, they embraced us. They fed us. 15 people shared one room. And you're talking about a meeting going on up in there. Yeah. Woo! What a time we had. And I remember thinking, I met somebody that had like 30 years clean. And I was saying something. It was a lady. And she looked at me. She said, oh, buck up. Work the steps, motherfucker, or die. And I was like, oh. It's a little intimidating. Just a little bit. I was like, steps? What do you mean? But it's been people like that, having people, and God knows what I need. See, I'm a rough rider. I need it like that. You can't coddle me. Because, see, I'll try to manipulate that situation. You just got to give it to me straight and hard. And it's been people like that in my recovery that have helped me get to this point, man. And it's a great place to be. I have never been more comfortable, more free, more joyous than I am right now. And I have everybody out there to thank, and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share.